on the 2nd May 1964, on behalf of the Barakpur Gandhi Sarak Sangrahala, we approached Sri Surendranath Biswas at his Calcutta residence. He is now 80. Sri Biswas was closely connected with the Bengal Provincial Congress Committee and the All India Congress Committee. He was in the thick of fight during the non-cooperation days. He also took up, in right earnest, the constructive work inaugurated by Mahatma Gandhi. Being questioned by me as to how he was influenced by Mahatma Gandhi's politics, he said,
Mahatma Gandhi took the lead of the Congress in the year 1920. His first act was to convert the Indian National Congress from an organization of the intelligentsia into an organization of the entire nation, with the creed of attainment of Swaraj by all legitimate and peaceful means. The intelligentsia and the illiterate masses, the rich and the poor, the men and the women, all alike were called upon to become members of the Congress, and millions of them responded to his call. The spirit of sacrifice being inherent in the Indian mind, he drew up the program of non-violent non-cooperation, which involved sacrifices on the part of every worker. Following the golden rule of example is better than precept, he as a true leader sacrificed all his earthly possessions and came down to the level of the common man. He then called upon the lawyers of India to suspend their practice and to work out the program. I was then a lawyer of 13 years' practice. I could not resist the call and gave up my practice for good and joined the movement as a whole-time worker.
Mr. Biswas, would you kindly tell us as to what notable events happened at and about the Bengal Provincial Conference held at Madaripur in May 1925, which Mahatma Gandhi was pleased to attend?
We invited the Bengal Provincial Political Conference of 1925 at Faridpur. It was held on 2nd and 3rd May. It was a historic conference. The greatest man of the age, Mahatma Gandhi, honored it by his presence. The great leader of India, Deshbandhu Chittaranjan Das, presided over it with the object of making a historic announcement. Many eminent leaders of India also attended it. The conference opened at noon. After my speech as the chairman of the reception committee and the president's speech were delivered, the deliberations were adjourned till noon on the following day. The subject committee sat in the evening, but I could not attend it as I had to stay at my residence to attend to Mahatma Gandhi. At dead of night, Deshbandhu Das, while returning from the conference, stopped his car in front of my residence and called me to see him. As soon as I went near his car, he handed over to me a small piece of paper whereon were written the words, "I resign my presidentship, Sir Das," and told me to elect a new president on the following day. I was simply stunned to hear him and to receive the note. I passed the night awake. In the early morning, Deshbandhu Das came to my residence. Mahatmaji was moved to look at Deshbandhu's face and gently patting him on the back said, "Das, you look very much upset. Tell me what has happened." Mahatmaji's affectionate query drew tears from his eyes, and with a choked voice, Deshbandhu said, "Mahatmaji, my life's ambition is lost. My resolution for honorable cooperation was negated by the subject committee yesterday night. I shall tell you why I want the resolution to be passed. I joined your movement of non-violent non-cooperation with the hope that the British government would be forced by our activities under your leadership to grant us at least sufficient reforms, if not complete independence, which we might utilize as a jumping ground for further struggle for complete independence. But you called off the movement of non-cooperation. We then launched the council entry program and went on wrecking the diarchy. The success of our policy has outwitted the British government. I have got a gesture from Lord Birkenhead that if you would abandon our policy of wrecking the diarchy, our Congress shall be granted sufficient reforms by working out which we shall be able to do a lot of good to our people. I and my colleagues in the Swarajya Party are prepared to abandon the said policy in return for the proposed reforms. I wanted to speedily make the announcement of the change of our policy by passing an appropriate resolution in this conference in your presence and with your approval. I should now explain to you why I want the reforms. Your movement for non-cooperation having been withdrawn, the next and last weapon that remains in the armory of the Congress is mass civil disobedience. And for such movement to be successful, it is required full cooperation and active participation of the masses and their determination to face bullets and other sufferings that the British government might inflict on them. You cannot expect such cooperation of the masses unless they have full confidence in the leadership of the Congress. They do not understand political slogans. They want bread and cloth. Your Congress cannot give them bread and cloth. If you get sufficient reforms as proposed by Lord Birkenhead, we shall be able to give them bread and cloth by working out the same. We shall then tell them that we have served you thus far, but cannot serve further until our country becomes free from alien rule. You should therefore join the Congress movement for driving out the alien rulers. Then, and then only, you may expect the masses to follow the Congress and take part in this massive liberal movement. Mahatmaji patiently listened to Det Bandhu's argument and said, "Das, I appreciate what you have said. Don't you worry. I shall see that your resolution is passed in this conference." Mahatmaji then asked me to call the members of the subject committee to meet him at 10 a.m. They came in time. Mahatmaji addressed the members as follows: "Friends, I have called you to answer a few questions which I shall presently put to you. I want your answers in the form of yes or no. I shall not admit any argument. Now, my first question is, do you realize that you are so many soldiers fighting the battle of freedom of your motherland and that you are in the battlefield? Say yes or no." They all answered yes. "My second question is, do you admit that Det Bandhu Chittaranjan Das is the commander-in-chief of this battle so far as Bengal is concerned? Say yes or no." They all answered yes. "My third question is, do you admit that it is the bounden duty of every soldier to obey the command of the commander-in-chief so long as he is in the battlefield?" Say yes or no. They all answered yes. Gandhiji continued, "Now I request you to obey the command of Det Bandhu Das and pass his resolution on honorable cooperation before the conference meets at 12 a.m. Before we part, I shall tell you that if you do not do so, I shall preside over the deliberations of the conference today to get his resolution carried by the House." And in fact, the resolution was subsequently passed by the subject committee and carried by the open house. This happened on 3rd May 1925, and the steps to communicate the said resolution to the Whitehall were duly taken, but unfortunately, before the British government took any action thereon, Det Bandhu Chittaranjan died on 16 June 1925, and the British government withdrew their offer. I have narrated the subject committee incident in full details just to show how Gandhiji dearly loved Det Bandhu Chittaranjan Das. I verily believe that Mahatmaji always remembered that it was the astounding sacrifice of Det Bandhu Chittaranjan Das which electrified the entire nation to accept Gandhiji's program of non-violent non-cooperation. As for myself, I felt at the time of joining the movement that Det Bandhu Das was to Mahatmaji what Narendra Nath, Swami Vivekananda was to Paramahansa Ramakrishnadev.
Mr. Vishwas, so far as I remember, Mahatmaji had been to Madaripur and attended a spinning demonstration there. Please let us have an idea of the demonstration.
Mahatmaji went to Madaripur, the place of my birth and public activities, on or about the 12th June 1925. He stayed at my residence for a few hours and thereafter in the evening addressed two meetings, one a ladies' meeting and the other a public meeting. In the ladies' meeting, my wife read the address of welcome. While she was reading out the address, I held a lantern to her. When Mahatmaji found that the lantern was not near enough, he snatched it from my hand and held the lantern himself to my wife. About 200 chaukyas were humming at the ladies' meeting, and a number of fallen women were spinning in the corner of the meeting place. Addressing the volunteers, Mahatmaji said, "Take up the work of protecting these fallen sisters. Form a women's volunteer league for the reclamation of fallen women and work through that league. You have said in your address that Madaripur has been marked by government as the chief among the revolutionary centers. Well, nothing short of a revolution is needed amongst the women of India, and may Madaripur lay the foundation of that revolution." My wife presented to him a piece of loincloth woven by her with yarn spun by herself and my children. Mahatmaji expressed his great pleasure and remarked that he was all the more glad to receive such a precious thing from the hands of a Swaraj's wife.
Mr. Vishwas, Swaraj is our birthright. That was what we said during our struggle against the British Raj. I remember you attended the Madras session of the Congress held in December 1927. Would you kindly give us a gist of the talk between Gandhiji and Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru about the Congress creed.
The event took place in my presence during the plenary session of the Congress at Madras in December 1927. In the morning of the first day of the session, I was sitting in the room with my wife where Mahatma Ji was plying his charka. Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru came to see him and said that he intended to move a resolution in the subject committee for amending the Congress creed, for which he sought his permission. Mahatma Ji seemed to be surprised and asked what his amendment was. Pandit Ji said that he wanted to substitute the words complete independence for the word Swaraj in the creed. The creed was the attainment of Swaraj by all legitimate and peaceful means. Mahatma Ji asked, why? Pandit Ji said, Babuji, I have recently toured in Europe. Wherever I went, I was asked, what was the goal of your Congress? To whomever I said that it was Swaraj, they simply laughed at me and remarked, either say complete independence or say nothing. We do not understand your Swaraj. That is why I want the outside world to know that our National Congress stands for complete independence. Mahatma Ji very calmly said, my dear young friend, for my life I cannot be a party to it. I want Swaraj for every man and woman of India. I also want complete independence, but that is the means to that end. If you so desire, you may move a separate resolution to demand complete independence, and I shall support it. Pandit Ji agreed, and a separate resolution demanding complete independence was moved and carried.
Mr. Vishwas, here is my last question to you. If I am not mistaken, you met Gandhiji at the Sodhpur Ashram and had a talk with him about food control. Just tell us how Gandhiji felt about it.
In the year 1945, while Mahatma Gandhi was staying at the Sodhpur residence of our esteemed friend Sri Satish Chandra Das Gupta, I wrote to him informing that the poor people of this province were suffering a great deal owing to government's control of food and requested him to take up the matter with the then governor of Bengal. Satish Babu wanted me to go to Sodhpur and discuss the pros and cons of the question with Mahatma Ji. I did so. Mahatma Ji seemed to have been convinced that the control should go. He took up the matter with the governor, but to no avail. Later on, after independence was achieved, Mahatma Ji asked Sardar Patel to withdraw the control. Sardar Ji objected and said that the poor men would suffer if the control was withdrawn. Thereupon Mahatma Ji said that the poor men themselves wanted the withdrawal. Sardar Ji observed that they were mistaken. To that Mahatma Ji retorted, let the poor men have the freedom to commit mistakes. The control was eventually withdrawn.